Hello, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning right here in the city of Abeokuta. Welcome to the show. All I want is Christmas. All I want this Christmas. I'm still expecting someone to even ask me, like, Binga, what's your shoe size? What's your clothes size? What do I even want for Christmas? I don't even know. Someone is whispering, "Oh, bag of rice." No, but I think I need more than that for Christmas. Okay, I need more than that. And I also wish you a Merry Christmas, because Christmas is around the corner. That today's the 13th day in the month of December, 2023, and you're welcome to the platform. The platform comes on your radio every weekday, Mondays and Wednesday. We have brilliant conversation. We talk about everything, all sectors. But this time, I'm going to be having a conversation with a public affairs analyst, okay? And in person of Mustafa Abdul Hakim, will I be otherwise known as Mao. Thank you so much for joining us right here in the studio.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Yes, good morning. So we're going to be talking about everything. We're going to be talking about Nigeria. We'll talk about Ogun State. We'll talk about different sectors. You know, governance, because officially, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu was sworn in on the 29th of May, 2023, and the administration kick-started on that day. Yes, and it was after a hard-fought election. Yes, we saw the controversies that happened, the back and forth, you know, the things that happened in the lead up to that election. Now, it's been 6 months, or perhaps say a few days past 6 months, you know, since the president assumed power. But from your point of view, how will you assess the performance of the president in the past 6 months? How will you assess governance in Nigeria in the past 6 months?
Well, assessment of government will be done by its people, by the people he govern.
By the people?
Yeah, not by pundits or analysts. Mm. What has been the effect of his administration,
yes,
on the populace? Mm. So it is left for you guys in the media to go out to the street and find out. It's been rocky, but he knew what he was getting into when he ran for the president, and he told us not to pity him, remember?
Not to pity him, yeah, said that.
I believe he's trying to set a lot of things in motion.
Mm.
He's done a lot of things by legislation, fuel removal, floating of Nairas and whatnot. But the most important thing is that how does the people feel on the streets?
Okay.
That is what governance is all about.
Hmm.
And I can tell you for free that it's not been very comfortable for a lot of people. They've given us assurances that it's no pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that people keep asking is, why do we have to suffer the pain? Why some people make the gain?
Yeah, the government will always say that, yes, we should sacrifice, tighten our belts.
So,
but it doesn't seem as if,
exactly,
you know,
so
the people up there are tightening.
The impact of government yet, of their government yet, is done a lot of things economically to put Nigerians on good footing, but it doesn't translate into an average man's pocket.
Mm.
And that is the problem.
That is the challenge. Okay, well, because the economy, just like you said, is biting hard,
mm-hmm,
you know, on a lot of Nigerians. And it is also affecting investors and business owners. Because, in fact, we even heard stories of major companies exiting the country, you know, due to the harsh economic policies. You know, some are saying, oh, because of overtaxation. Some are saying, oh, because of the infrastructure. You know, there are lots of reasons. So the forex problem as well, you know. But the president, you know, for some time now, you know, he's been going around the world marketing Nigeria to the rest of the world to say that, hey, come and invest in Nigeria. We have the people, we have the resources. You know, we'll make sure that you make good use of your time and you make your money. But the situation on ground is not so favorable for even business owners. So, as a Nigerian, what are some of the low-hanging fruits that you think that the president should put in place as a matter of urgency, you know, to attract foreign direct investments, not just foreign direct investment, and also to keep the businesses that are in Nigeria flourishing?
Well, thank you for your question. The job of the government, like we know, is not to create jobs. They cannot create more than the ministry job, which is a minute aspect of the employment.
But they always say during campaigns, we'll give jobs.
The job of a government is to create the enabling environment for business to thrive, thereby creating employment. And there are indices for that. You have to have very suitable infrastructure for business to come and invest in your area. Infrastructure and human capital. Nigeria is not short in human capital, but the problem we have is enabling infrastructure. The major aspect of it is, of any industrialization, is power sector. Up till now, maybe we are producing less than, is it 5 megawatts?
Yes.
I think their attention should be focused solely on making sure we have enough power supply for industries to grow. And the question I keep asking the policymaker that I've encountered with is, why are we still focusing more on hydroelectric when the world has moved from hydro to coal? They've declared the coal to be very expensive and also not environmental friendly. The industrial nation have moved from coal to nuclear energy.
Nuclear, yes.
And they've determined now that the nuclear energy is too dangerous because of the radioactive materials. Germany actually is about to shut down their nuclear power plant. They are concentrating more on renewable gas and other indices. But we are still stuck trying to get our hydroelectric to function.
No, but we also, the gas.
Yes, it's part of innovation of Buhari, Tinubu administration, trying to focus on gas. But we've not seen it.
But we have it in quantum.
But you see, a resources that you have that's not refined is not a resource. If it's in the ground, you don't use it, or you're flaring it, you don't convert it to a usable form, then it's still just like you don't have it. So until those things are done, which a lot of people have argued that's supposed to be done prior to the removal of subsidy, because most of our industries they power through generators.
True.
You have a case of PNG leaving Nigeria, very big company in the 70s, 80s, that made a lot of people comfortable. They are exiting. Joined the likes of GSK, Guinness, Dunlops, and the rest of them that have left. But it's not about campaigning for people to come, but is the environment conducive enough for people to come? Then you have this Naira floating they've done simultaneously with the removal of oil subsidy. It makes a lot of things very, very expensive, and it's not too conducive for people to invest.
Should the government have done the Naira floating? Because the IMF have always said that, do this, remove subsidy, float the Naira. But if you look at how it is affecting Nigerians, badly, and is affecting inflation, every facet of our lives. So should we have done it in the first place? Because I remember they did it back then in 2016. They had to return it.
IMF tell us to do a lot of things.
Exactly.
And why do you go to IMF? Because you go there to borrow money. So it's like a bank. You go to your bank, they want to see your balance sheet. They want to see your book. Do this, do that before we can loan you money. That is what IMF is. But why do we have to loan money in the abundance of resources that we have? That is the problem. We have money.
People still ask that question.
We have money. We have resources.
Fuel subsidy has been removed. Why are we still borrowing?
Yeah. And people have argued against this. Why do we remove fuel subsidy? What is fuel subsidy? Fuel subsidy is an engine. It's a catalyst to economic development. That's why people put subsidy in place, to encourage people to be able to, innovate, experiment, company grow. Then it develops the economy. But we removed the subsidy because of some bourgeois that hijacked the program. So the masses now have to suffer. And that alone is stagnant. It's a stagnation factor to economy. So a lot of countries that give subsidy to anything is to develop that sector. It was not meant as a Christmas gift. No. It's when you have subsidy, people are able to afford more. Then they produce more. In turn, the government get revenue from it. So we have a lot of revenue in Nigeria. We just haven't tapped into it. And it's not just taxation, like they say, but grow the economy, then revenue will come.
Because most of the business owners will say that they are overtaxed, they keep taxing and taxing them, and because of that, they can't afford to grow. They can't afford to pay salaries, and because of that, they just have to downsize. coupled with the fact that forex scarcity, coupled with the fact that they have to import most of these things, most of their materials, and it's not business friendly, and not also forgetting the fact that most of these companies find it very difficult to repatriate their funds back to the... So what should the government now put in place? Okay, if you put in place PAR, what do we need to put in place PAR? If you put in, what other things should we put in place? Should we reduce taxes? Should we give companies tax holidays? Should we help in paying, should the government help in paying salaries of private organizations? Or just like what they did in the UK, follow?
It's a lot of things. It's a multifaceted approach to economic development. Once you have power, a lot of companies probably will return on their own because we have the manpower, we have the population, we have the education, we have the know-how. You know, most of our children are abroad doing wonderful things in companies. So the power is one of our major problems. And to any industrial nation, they need power. But the question is that, why do we still emphasize too much on the hydro part? Why did the government not have some kind of incentive for people to have alternative energy, which is cleaner? It's a lot more expensive, just like the telephone when it came into power being. For you to get a telephone back then would be like ₦1 million now. But now every Jack and Harry can have telephone. Over time, competition and a lot of things will drive the price down.
Yes.
So if we are concentrated on renewable energy, even the international community will sympathize with us. They will be able to invest more or borrow Nigeria more money, because that is where the world is going now.
Okay.
And African is behind. We are lagging behind in emission control. And you are telling me to come and control my emission where I can barely eat. The few industries that are functioning, what should I do to them? Cut them down? So that is the problem we have. The focus is more on just generation from hydroelectric, where I think it should be more like renewable energy at this time. And I think they will borrow us money more at a cheap rate for that in the international community.
Some persons have even said that most of the monies that we even borrowed should even be audited to say that, okay, you borrowed money, were you able to, all the things you said you wanted to use this money is for, did you use them? Do you agree with that submission?
Well, I mean, every money you borrow has to be audited, but the question is, why are we borrowing money? We are over-reliant on dollars.
Is borrowing a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing if it is channeled towards things that will generate development, that will help development of a nation. It's just like an individual. You can borrow money to eat and think you'll be able to pay the money back. But if you borrow money to invest, you'll be able to pay it back. That is the way it works. But why are we borrowing money? That is the problem. We are borrowing money because we have nothing to sell to get dollars other than petroleum products. And we've seen decline in our petroleum product exploration and sales over time.
Okay.
So until we get the capacity to end foreign exchange up, we will still continue to borrow. So until that one is up, like you look at 2022 now, we've almost totally forgotten about agricultural sector. Majority of our foreign exchange came from petroleum, from oil. Think about 97% of it. Whereas in the 60s, majority of our forests
was
came
agriculture.
From agriculture. You understand? So we've forgotten or neglected a sector that could have been produced. We have enough food, we have enough in our country to produce and feed African nations and export. But it is part of what we're talking about, infrastructure, road, storage facility,
security, and
finished products. You know, you go to the market, most of the market women come with their tomatoes. After 2 days, 3 days, they throw them away. So there's no processing plants in Nigeria where
storage
things can be done, where they can store this thing and reuse them. So we rely on foreign. We import tomatoes. When we produce tomato here, we still import tomatoes. With the little forest we have, we import toothpick. We import a lot of junk to Nigeria. And we use dollars. And these dollars only have one or two sources. People coming from overseas that has dollar, or what we generate as a nation, principally through oil. And we have other important needs. To grow our industry, we need to bring materials in that we cannot produce. But what happened to the one that we can produce locally? That is where the problem is. We are buying things, we can produce it.
But some would say that, oh, it's just the attitude of Nigerians. Nigerians don't really like locally made products. They prefer, even the government as well, to remember the issue of the SUV. We thought they were going to get Nigerian-made SUVs, but...
You mean Nigerian assembled?
Nigerian assembled. Okay, we had the Nod, the Innocent, and all. We thought they were going to look... So that grow, buy the Naira, buy Naira, grow the Naira and all. But
well, the blame will go around.
So it's not just the government.
It's not the government. But somebody has to lead. And for now in Nigeria, government is the one that started with the arrangement of leading the people.
Yes.
So they have to lead by example. Mm. They have to cut down the pox and all the wastages. Mm-hmm. Then you can now tell people to sacrifice. Because people are saying, you ask us to sacrifice. Mm. We haven't seen you sacrificing much.
We have not.
Yeah, so that is the optics of the whole thing.
The optics of the whole thing. All right, so you can't come here without talking about the COP28. All right, because Nigeria was at the COP28, and yes, there were issues. Issues about, the number of delegates that went with the president, but we're not going into that now. But let's talk about the COP28 itself. Some persons, which I'm part of those people, that say that the climate conference has always been all talk and no action. Because take, for example, the COP21, otherwise known as the Paris Agreement, in which this countries, they signed an agreement that, the greenhouse emission will be reduced by 50%. Okay, and by the time COP28 was announced, we realized that it has even doubled or even tripled. Okay, do you see the countries getting serious about reducing the greenhouse emission?
You're talking about international community?
Yes, international community. No, Nigeria will still get there. But international community, do you see them getting all serious? Okay, yes, we agree that, talk about these major industrial countries. Okay. Do you see them getting serious about reducing this scourge called greenhouse emission that is affecting, global warming?
Well, people that say all talk without action, they are right. And there are some action, there are some movement, but it is not universal. It's not all members. You realize the Donald Trump, when he came into power, he withdrew from the Paris Agreement.
Yeah, the Paris Agreement, yes.
And for this thing to be effective, the major industrial nation has to cooperate.
So that's cooperate why they together. Cooperation.
The conference of parties. So there is no unanimity in the approach towards climate change. They knew it. Some people are even climate denials. They deny the science that it's a lie, it's not true. But me and you knew that 20 years ago, you can't come into the studio with just a light outfit like this because the weather was so cold. But now you can walk outside now with no clothes on.
The ozone layer is already affected.
Yeah, we know the health is heating up. So everybody knew that, but the will to tackle it is the problem because it is tied directly to economy.
Okay.
For industrial production. And people that make money through it, they are reluctant. Nigerians and OPEC nations, we are the chief culprit because they are trying to reduce our fossil fuel consumption. And
we've been flaring gas for how many years?
Not just gas, but look at why do we have organic crisis because of Kenzaro, we are complaining about environmental degradation. And what a lot of people, including this Western nation, didn't realize that environment can survive without man. Man cannot survive without
the environment. True.
So it is incumbent upon all of us to make concerted effort to reduce emission.
Okay.
One of the way they've highlighted scientifically is renewable energy. We should lower our consumption of fossil fuel.
Okay.
It's difficult in this part of the world, and even because it's very expensive. Renewable right now is still very expensive, but it is cheaper in the long run.
Okay.
For instance, if you have a solar panel here, it might cost you probably $2 million, unlike just paying your regular electricity bill of about $10,000-$20,000 a month.
Yes.
But over time, it is beneficial both to the environment and even to the pocket of the person that installed the solar panel. So there needs to be a serious concern about the climate change. And everybody must come on board for it to be effective.
Everybody must come on board. No, people say that, but Nigeria, how many things are we even emitting? And all? But how does this global warming affect now, Jared?
A lot.
Please educate us.
Well, go to where we produce oil. That will give you an impact. The places, ozone,
the waterways
have been destroyed. Mm. People that engage in fishing cannot really engage in it.
True. You know, environmental degradation to the maximum.
And those things have consequential health hazard over time.
Mm.
We have that. And that is part of why we're having problems with agriculture, because when you destroy the environment, what you get from the earth, apart from the oil, is no longer visible as it used to be. So it will affect the production of food in that sub-region or that area. So then we have the pollution also. Illnesses, diseases, you know, respiratory infection, I mean, problems. So it's a lot of ways that it affects Nigeria. But we don't care about it because we are hungry. When people are hungry, they think less about stuff like that. Mm. They just want to go out and get something to eat. Until people are comfortable, then they will be thinking about environment, which is not supposed to be the case. Even littering is a form of pollution.
True,
just throwing stuff on the street.
That's true.
You know, we have our roads are bad.
Mm.
You have
open defecation.
It's a lot of things. So throwing things into the waterways, that is part of environmental degradation.
And also the cars that we import as well.
Well, we import cars that people don't want to use because of pollution. Like in developed world, your cars have to go for emission every year for you to get a license.
I thought we used to have emission control here in Ogun State, back, but
we can have laws, but are those laws enforced?
Enforced.
So that is the problem. So we use cars that people don't want to use.
They just come dump them here. Hmm.
Not dump, we went and got it. Nobody dump it there. We go there.
We go
we
there to pick
pay
it
money
up.
For it.
True.
Because we are not producing vehicle here. And even when you do, we cannot afford it.
Okay.
And it is largely because we don't have a good or effective transportation system. There's no need to drive around the city if you have good transport system. Affordable anyway.
Affordable metro system.
If you have that, nobody want to be driving and burning fuel. That's why the developed country are able to actually engage in all these things. People park their car for weeks and join metro system.
True.
Or even ride the bus because it's very accessible to them. You can walk out of your house and get into a bus and go to wherever you want to go. If that is possible here, then you will see less, you know, emphasis on people driving.
Now, some have said, though, maybe probably when they were planning, talking about town planning, maybe they didn't factor in, you know, in the blueprint, the original blueprint, to say that, okay, we're going to use a metro line and all of it.
That is the problem with our nation.
We plan afterwards. Okay, but because of our time, we still have a lot of things to discuss. Last week, Saturday, was International Anti-Corruption Day, December 9. And currently, Nigeria is ranked 149. Out of 183 countries, you know, X-rayed for corruption in government and public places and public service. Now, Nigeria has been fighting corruption since, I'm sure, before I was born. Nigeria's been fighting corruption, but it looks as if corruption is just too strong to be defeated. Now, Mao, will you say we have been fighting corruption the wrong way?
I want to use one example that a lot of people might not find comforting. When the military of General Biagbon and Buhari came into power, drug trafficking was very endemic. It has tarnished the image of the country.
Sure.
So they came out with a decree and said, if you carry drug and you are caught, you'll be executed.
Capital punishment.
Yeah, and they displayed. So I'm not advocating for capital punishment, but I'm advocating for stringent punishment for corrupt
individuals.
And it's not just the government, it's not just the politicians, even government offices.
No, but the poor man will say, it's the rich people are corrupt.
Well, even poor people also steal. Yeah, true. They are corrupt. I mean, our law enforcement are not very affluent, and they have a way out to say, well, they're not being paid properly.
Okay.
So we have something going on in social media when a German woman or a Netherlands woman was traveling on a bike and
police officers.
So
I heard they've been arrested.
And all those things can be linked to dysfunctionality in the society. We have laws that is not enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption is supposed to be a crime. How many people have been successfully prosecuted?
Prosecuted for corruption.
Are the people in power prosecuted for corruption?
Mm.
Unless we offend government. Or,
or maybe another political party.
So we, if you're serious about fighting crime, you have to enforce it. You have to make sure, you have to cite, give example, you have to let people know that there are consequences
for bad
other
behavior.
Than just lip service.
Should it come from the top or from the bottom there top or no, top to bottom?
There is no other way other than from the top but to bottom.
From the top
because
to bottom.
They are the ones that have the instrument of government to prosecute.
To prosecute.
Individuals that are found corrupt, wanting of this offense. So that actually, you know, encompasses the problem of our nation, corruption.
Corruption.
Why do they remove for a subsidy?
Because of the corruption in the subsidy region.
Why do they have issue with floating naira?
Because some people were actually corrupt, exactly making
money from
it. So
it's a lot of, it's almost all aspects of our life has been infected with this menace of corruption. And until we develop a will to fight it,
yes.
I've told them one time that the only way or the best way to fight it is to not make it a cost of study from primary education to secondary to tertiary.
So to build that value system in people.
You have to build that value system back.
From the cradle.
Where it used to be. Because even an average kid, if you send him on a message, if they're not properly trained, they want to keep your change. Without you even volunteering to give it to them.
Oh, is that corruption?
Well, I mean, is this his money?
Because I did that a lot.
Okay, thank you. So do you see what I'm saying? The value that we teach our kid also, it's very important.
And
these leaders didn't come from the earth. They didn't come from the
They
moon.
Came from
they
the
came
society.
From society. They are product. I mean, and people have said this, you know, society deserves the leader they got.
True.
They said that's probably one of our problems. We are putting leaders in place that we knew their antecedent. We knew where they are likely to do well because of the corrupt practices. We've collected our chair. We let everything slide.
All right, so bringing it down to Ogun State, if you just joined us, 25 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock, if you just joined us, this is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. We have Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Olabi, the other one is known, Mao. Okay, so bringing it down to Ogun State now, the second term administration of Governor Dapo Abiodun officially kick-started 29th of May, 6 months and a couple of days. Now, after a hard-fought election, it was in fact a hard-fought election because I saw the things that happened in the build-up, you know. Now, as a resident of this state, okay, and I'm sure you're from Ogun State as well, okay, from your point of view, how will you assess governance so far in the state in the past 6 months?
Well, I'm sure it has not been easy for even the governor himself because he's probably still battling with the court system up to now. And Yoruba say, Atebi Atari, Olomaje Nrejo. So whenever you are in a situation of uncertainty,
yes,
either you admit or not, it will affect the way you, it will affect your productivity, so to say.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think he has been, I mean, they've selected all the commissioners.
Their commissioners.
Appointed all the commissioners,
yes.
You know, so I believe the will of government is turning again. So we are just looking forward to performance, to him doing well in the second term, because this is his final year.
Exactly.
In the office. After this, he can never be governor of the state anymore, except he want to be president, so he can't come back.
So, but in your point of view, the governor is doing the right thing, ticking the right boxes, you know, as far as governance is concerned in the past 6 months?
Well, 6 months is enough. It's not enough to assess the second term. But then they came into office with a crisis on their hand from the federal government.
Okay, true.
We have this fuel
subsidy removal,
which has created a lot of pandemonium in the state economy itself. The palliative coming from the government has not had much effect on the society. Even before the palliative was
before the
subsidy was removed, it's transportation. For instance, if you are coming from UNAP, you have a bus that will take you from UNAP to
Adaton.
Adaton or even the next garage, Arrow.
Yes. To Lafenwa area.
If it ordinarily used to be like 500 naira and you're able to enter government bus at 200 naira, you have direct relief. To the consumers.
True.
I don't care how many bags of rice that's given to people.
Whether AC buses or anything, as long as it takes me from point A to B.
And that is what is different in other countries. Every hour you have public transportation.
Okay.
If you can afford to wait for it, you will have savings. If you cannot afford, then you can hop on Okada or Marwa or whatever other transportation. But something that the poor people can get on and be able to live their life.
Although the state government has launched the gas-powered buses. But have you started seeing those buses?
I haven't, if you haven't seen it. But
I think I saw one.
Yeah, so if it's on the road, it will have benefits a lot of people.
But some have said that because the way the Ogun State is planned, what if they had used maybe motorbikes, you know, gas-powered motorbikes or taxis instead of buses? Do you agree with that submission, though?
All those things are possible if it was planned. You know, they removed this fuel subsidy once the president came into office, and then they said it wasn't part of the budget, even though now we see them passing supplementary budget.
Exactly.
So if you had planned properly for this event, it would have been a lot easy to deal with than just afterwards. Because there's crisis already and people are panicking and the government is trying to respond in whichever way they can respond.
Okay.
Unlike if it has been carefully planned out and execution is in progress before you now remove the subsidy.
Okay. Because most of the time we hear that, okay, now we have a new administration, but I heard that some people are already preparing for 2027. Now, in preparation for 2027, and in here in Ogun State, while we talk 2027, we can't talk 2027 without talking about rotation of power. You know, because if you look at it, the four pillars in the state, we have the Remo, we have the Ijebu, we have the Dirie, okay? The Remo, Ijebu, Yewa, and Igba. But talking about power rotation, how would you say power rotation has helped the political stability in the state?
I don't know if there's anything written anywhere that there's power rotation in Ogun State. There's no constitutional provision.
There's no constitutional provision
for power rotation.
Is it a matter of moral here?
Yeah, it's a matter of
balance.
I think people just strike balance when they can.
Okay.
Majorly, we have two sections. We have the Jebus and the Egba. They call it Jebu, Jebu Remo. They call it Egba Ibado.
So Egba covers the Yewa and
That's why they call it Egba Igbado. Egbado North, Egbado South, and you know. Then they say Jebu, Jebu Bo, Jebu De, Jebu Remo, Jebu Shara. So you know, that's the way it has always been. And even as unwritten as it may be, we've been managed to do that. So when it goes to Jebu, then it comes to Egba Igbado. That's the way it's been done all of, you know, from time immemorial. So that has actually, in a way, helped. I don't know if the political party have an internal arrangement for rotation, but I don't think so, because I dabble in politics a little bit.
But has it really brought some sort of balance, you know, so that there won't be some sort of, oh, we have not tasted it here, we have not... Do you think the rotation itself has helped, in a way, since return to democracy in 1999?
I mean, there's been agitation. People agitate a lot, that is supposed to come here, supposed to come there. But you still have to realize one thing. Politics, it's a game of numbers.
It's a game of numbers.
Yeah. You have ethnic dominance or subgroup dominance, like when you, the Egba, Egbado section,
yes,
the Jebu, Jebu Remo, they know how they manage that thing.
Mm.
But you know the dominant
ethnic
group in the Ogun State are the Egbas.
Mm.
So most time it will come to us.
But now, I'm talking about the power rotation because there's been talks. I've been hearing all sort of rumors here and there, you know, talking about some people are saying the Egba agenda did this. But looking at this, still talking the power rotation, will this be fair to other areas, you know, especially the Ogun West? No, they say that, oh, we've not tasted power since 1999. It should be out. You know, there's been clamor for it. But will it be fair that if some people are still saying, oh, let it come back, will it be fair for balance sake?
Yeah, in talks, yes.
In talk.
But that's not democracy. Democracy is a government of the majority. Right? Plurality is about the people selecting their leaders. So even when they say you should go to anywhere, which is not constitutional, we know that, you can't stop Ijebu man from contesting election. You can't stop an Egba man from contesting. I've seen things like people, Yewa people are, you know, the Egbado people, as I would call them,
yes,
they want the power to come to them. They won't give it to them. Nobody will just give it to you.
It's not a la carte. It's not served a la carte.
It's not allocation. And then you have the subgroup in Ota Adodo saying it's a worry's time. So they're not going to just give it to you. Power is not given to anybody. You have to fight for it. And in fairness to the Egba people, we've tried several times for it to go to our brothers in Egbado. It just haven't panned out well, from General Olurin to Akinlade to BOT to GNI. So, and if you see the people that actually championed those things, they were Egbas. They were Egbas clamoring for it. It has sinked some people politically by just, you know, making it want to enforce it and making sure that the Egbado people have it. So the subgroup have to get themselves together.
Now, when you say fight for it, what should, what does fight for it mean? Is it lobbying? Is it cooperating with others? Is it, what do you mean by fight for it?
Well, getting elective position, it's about all those things you mentioned. You have to lobby other group. You have to engage other people, other resources to be able to get it done.
Okay.
So you can't just say, because it's my turn, I will get it. They always have an opportunity to be governor. But it's either they don't even cooperate among themselves.
Yes.
Or Omipojokalo, as Yoruba would say,
okay,
the forces from the other side is small. But you can't just say, give it to them, because they are not, their numbers alone cannot produce the governor. So they need other people. They need the Egbas, they need the Jebus and all that stuff. So democracy is about...
it's about numbers.
Numbers, election, and fighting for it.
And your ability to able to stretch, convince, you know, others, to convince others. But too, talking about this issue of power rotation, do you think, because some would say that it brings some sort of, you know, balancing and everybody has a fair share. Do you think it should be enshrined in the Constitution, or should it not?
If it is done, then it's no longer democracy.
Why do you say so?
What is democracy?
Government of the people, by the people.
So when you decide to seek power to a particular area in the Constitution, that takes away the democracy.
But democracy also talks about fairness.
Yeah. Fairness is the ability of an individual or everybody to be able to participate in it. It is fair. Like, not restricting that this person cannot contest.
Because you have taken it once, okay, let's give it to the other, let's give it to the other.
Well, they don't give it in democracy, they contest for it. So people have to vote for you. You can't give it. I mean, if it's democracy, then if it is an obership or something, then you can give.
Because in Nigeria, if you look at Nigeria, some would say that, oh, the eastern part of the country, though they've not tasted it. The last time they did was during the time of Agui Ronsi, you know, Azikiwe and all, you know, they deserve. But, and they say that because of that, they've been marginalized. And here in Ogun State as well, those, you know, they say they've been marginalized. And I ask again, for fairness, to talk about, to remove that part of marginalization, because when some people feel marginalized, it could lead to another thing. You know, we hear the issue of the IPOB, all because of the marginalization. So I ask again, do you think it should be enshrined in the Constitution just for fairness, for balance?
As a Democrat, no. Because when that happened, invariably you are going to disenfranchise a section of a people, the ability to fight for office, because it has been zoned or given to some people. The political party make arrangements. They make some arrangement to make some balances, because, you know, for you to contest for an office, you have to belong to a political party. So within themselves, there's intra-party arrangement. It might not be it might be unofficial, but they make arrangements like that.
But is it fairness if a particular group keeps getting it all the time?
Well,
is it fairness?
If you're talking about section of state or area.
No, in a country.
In a country.
Keeps getting it every because of the large population.
That it's unfair for them not to be president or governor. The disabled are clamoring that they need to be represented. So there's always going to be agitation for representation. But it is only seek or sought through political power, through political parties. And you still have to stand for an election. So when you start to allocate it to a particular section, then it's no longer democracy.
Okay. You can also be a part of this conversation. The number to call is 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079. Or 0818-111-1079. 0818-111-1079. Be a part of this conversation. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Benga.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Benga, good morning.
Good morning, I can hear you. Good morning.
If I'm not hearing you, so I guess you are hearing me.
I can hear you.
Olandola is calling from Ilaro.
Yes.
The second year 10 number has not been going for quite a while, so I want you to work on it. It's only this one that has been going, and this is no. Normally, take it. It's a challenge of network, and that's why I'm not hearing you. Okay. Now, let me go straight to the issue under review.
Okay.
I want to greet the guests. I think we don't need to be carrying over the spill milk again concerning the subsidy remover.
Mm.
But what I want Mr. President to do is to put all measures in place, the suffering and the hardship is getting too much to bear for the masses.
Okay.
Whatever they can be put in place to ameliorate this suffering, Mr. President should be ready to do it.
Okay.
Because we believe in him and we hope we will see the economy.
Yes.
But what we are experiencing now, I even learned that maybe they want to withdraw that $35,000 for federal civil workers. Some states are paying it. So I don't see any reason why government should withdraw it.
Okay.
I'm expecting it that I've planned towards it because I'm also a federal civil servant.
Okay.
So federal government should not withdraw it. So there should be all measures was increased to ameliorate it. And concerning the issue of electronics, if we are saying democracy, government of a majority.
Yes.
Yes, that's good. But nevertheless, we must also include fairness and equity in our democracy.
Okay.
If
We lost that call. Try and call us back, okay? 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. Because our former president, Olusegun Obasanjo, he said something that we always look at the majority, but we don't look at the minority. And the minority is the issue of the marginalization, the ones that claim that they are being marginalized here. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. I can hear you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, dear Lord. Good morning. I can hear you.
Hey, thanks for our death for good submission on all the issues you have been raising.
Yes.
On the issue of this palliative, I want the government to work upon more is that all these refineries should come on the business. We know the real cost of life, and then the government will continue. Even on the issue of the business something, the government has to hand over of it, have a little percentage on it. Then we know the cost of it. We know the cost of running, and they should reduce the cost of the running government something.
Okay.
That's the way to go. All those refineries, all those something continue to work.
Okay.
Issue of Ajakuta too, she put it in her mind. That one is the government not supposed to be a larger employer of labor.
Mm.
It's all those businesses that are supposed to be a larger of labor.
Okay.
When the government have little hands in business, the corruption will be reduced.
Okay.
Because all those having business, they continue to manage their entire entity. It's because of the government involving government, the corruption that in the business. That is why we have a large, very huge corruption.
Okay.
Look at it, even in infrastructure too. If it can be PPP, you will see that number everybody invest in that line. For complete 30 years, there's no more government to do the budget for Lagos Ibadan Road to maintain where the government will go. No, all those people will maintain it, because get the money from it, employ people that can do it, and the corruption will be reduced.
Gotcha.
That is the easiest way to go, and then that is the easiest way to go. the government should reduce the cost of growing government, open up the economy for people to for international something,
okay,
business people to engage in it, then they monitor it. So if they are on, it just only the policy and security.
Okay.
The policy and security.
All right.
And help something. Educated, that's all.
All right.
Then. That's my solution this morning. I you are having me.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. All right, we need to go on this quick break, 15 minutes at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock. We'll be right back to talk some more. Don't touch that radio.
Ẹgbẹ́ ẹ̀yin èèyàn mi, ìjẹ́bẹ́ yín bá rẹ̀ yọkàn tí ń fún yín mẹ́ta sí, bó nínú yín ó ti dùn tó?
Inú wa ó dùn o.
Ọ̀rọ̀ àyà mo ti máa ń fàní ńlá kan rẹ̀ gẹ̀gẹ̀ wá bá yín. Mo ṣe tán mo fẹ́ kórè dálẹ̀ kí gbogbo yín ọmọ yín. Pàápàá jùlọ ẹ̀yà akẹ́kọ̀ọ́ tẹ́ ti ṣèdánwò NECO tàbí WAEC. Tẹ̀ sí ń jàrànkàn àti kàwé lókè òkun. Ọ̀ya ni Trust Bond Solutions Global Travels and Tours Limited. Bí wọ́n bá ti ní kírẹ́dìtì márùn pẹ̀lú English àti Mathematics. Ìwọ náà ti pèrègede, ó sì ti lè jàǹfààní ètò ẹ̀kọ́ ọ̀fẹ́ lórílẹ̀-èdè China àti India. Ilé-iṣẹ́ Trust Bond Solutions Global Travels and Tours Limited ní ṣe bẹ́ẹ̀. Àsán lè owó kankan ò sí. Ọ̀ya tètè lọ gba fọ́ọ̀mù tiẹ̀ báyìí. Nílé-iṣẹ́ Trust Bond Solutions Global Travels and Tours Limited. Mo ṣàfihàn mo fàǹfààní ìjáta. Kẹ́ni tó gbọ́ sọ fẹ́ni tí ò gbọ́. Ọ̀nà ìrọ̀rùn kan rèé láti kàwé lókè òkun. Ètò ẹ̀kọ́ ọ̀fẹ́ pọ́n bẹ́lẹ̀ láì gba kọ́bọ̀ kankan. Ọ̀fẹ́ tún ni tíkẹ́ẹ̀tì tá fi rìnrìn àjò. Bámi ìdánilójú ṣe wà lórí fíṣà. Bẹ́ẹ̀ni tọ́rọ́ kọ́bọ̀ ó tún mọ wọlé lóṣooṣù fáwọn akẹ́kọ̀ọ́ wa. Ó yá ní 19A ládojúkọ Abẹ́kúta South Local Government. Àkẹ́ Abẹ́kúta ìpínlẹ̀ Ògùn. Tàbí kẹ́ pè sórí àwọn ẹ̀rọ ìbánisọ̀rọ̀ yìí 0703-439-468 àti 0705-177-6000. Trust Bond Solutions Global Travels and Tours Limited.
Ẹṣẹ̀ wọn ni ayọ̀ ẹjọ́ ẹ má ti ti gate yẹn mọ́tò ńlá yẹn máa gbé màálù wọlé.
Dádì tó pé káàbọ̀ ṣé pé lóòótọ́ ni promo tó wà AAS ń ṣe màálù rẹ̀ bẹ̀rẹ̀ kẹ̀tẹ̀ yìí.
Ṣé bí tọmọ sísítà ni wọ́n ń tiẹ̀ aláìgbàgbọ́ bí mo ṣe ń sanwó báyìí ni mo gbẹ̀bùn mi lẹ́sẹ̀kẹsẹ̀. Mọ́mí ayọ̀ ẹṣẹ̀ oúnjẹ à ti gate yẹn padà fúnra wa.
Yẹsà ṣé àwa náà ṣì lè rí ilẹ̀ yẹn rà kí n lè sọ fún dádì ayọ̀.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni kì í ṣọ̀rọ̀ yọ̀kẹ́ ra tó èyí táwa rà tá a fi gba màálù ṣá o.
Ẹ̀dínwó 200,000 naira péré lẹ máa ra ilẹ̀ àgbàlá àwúrà pọ́kùkọ̀ níkọjú òkè àtà Sokoto Road Abẹ́òkúta. Bákan náà 650,000 naira péré lẹ máa ra àgbàlá àwúrà Mike 8 níkọjá Ogun State Television. Agbègbè tí àwọn ilẹ̀ méjèèjì yìí wà dáa gan ni ìrẹsì ọ̀fadà adìẹ gbàǹkù gbàǹkù òróró ògúnfe àti màálù ti wà nílẹ̀ fẹ̀yìn náà gẹ́gẹ́ bí ẹ̀bùn. Bẹ́ẹ̀ bá ṣe ń sanwó ní ọ́fíìsì IAS lẹ máa gba plot number àti block name yín pé 091-3101-1255 December 16 lànfààní yìí mọ́ o.
And we're back on radio. It is still the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station. We still have Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Awolabi, when they call Mao, right here in the building. Still talking about the power rotation. I heard a rumor. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the old, well, let him come back to it. But your point of view, what do you have to say? Okay, how did you feel when you heard of people saying that oh, it should return back to, that Egba itself?
I mean, where will it go? Do you want Egba people to be out of government for 24 years? Do the calculation. If he doesn't come back to Egba, if the governorship doesn't come back to Egba, what does it mean? He goes to somewhere for 8 years, and when he comes back, Ijebu people want it for another 8 years. That's 16 plus the one Prince Dapo Abiodun is doing. That's 24 years. Is that possible? Do you even as an Egba person, do you want to sit on the fence for 24 years? Look at the current government now. We are not the governor. We are not the deputy governor. We are not the secretary to the government. Yet, we say we are the majority in Ogun State. No. Even you will not support that. So, people clamor. The clamor is real. It's genuine. And I mean, even me as an Egba man,
okay, so if,
I want...
So what you're saying is, if it comes to Egba, it automatically, Yewa and the Egbados have also benefited from it. Is that what you're saying?
Of course, now. I mean, you can go back in history and check the likes of Chief Olusegun Osoba when he was in power or when he was governor. He emphasizes and focused more on rural infrastructure, right? I was in the village then. So he was able to help us with our road from Odeda to Ogumaki. I remember that as a young child because I was able to ride my bike and my mother was able to spend less time traveling to Abeokuta to sell their goods. So that's what he did. You can go back to the time of Governor Amosun that just left. You can see what he did, and it wasn't localized to Egbas. It was every part of the state, including things like Abiodun too. So when a governor come in power, they spread the wealth, but everybody have their focus. I mean, look at Abeokuta these days. It's something you can be proud of in terms of the network of roads and bridges and whatnot. And that's the capital for all. It's not capital only for the Egba
people.
True. So when you hear Egba agenda, it's more than just governorship. It's like a state agenda, you know, that we want an organized society, infrastructure-wise, town planning, finance, industrialization. So Egba agenda transcends just 2027.
So the Yewa people are also, they can also just tag along.
Don't want to use their own tag along. I mean, like I said, Egba, Egbado, we are the same. What is Egbado? Egba by the river, right? Abi?
Yes.
So if you're using all those metrics, a lot of people will come up and say they want to be governor. And decidedly so, they can contest. But you can't tell somebody should fold their hand for 8, 16, 24 years and because it's fairness, just give it to the minority. No, everybody have to contest. They always come out to contest for election. And people have supported their brothers from time to time. And the records are there, you know. We won't be having this problem with Prince Dapo Abiodun going to court if not for our BOT. It took 94,000 votes. Majority of it came from APC. So that's an Egbado man. And one of the champions then, or major champion then, was Governor Amosun. Who's an Egba man by all indication and what he has done. And I've given you an example of Akinlade also.
Okay.
I've given you an example of General Olori also. GNI. So when they come out, we support them. But the Egbas are just saying we can wait for 24. We can't be out of government of Ogun State, where we are supposedly the majority.
Where we are the majority.
For 24 years.
Hmm.
That is not even fairness. Not to take anything away from... And if you're talking about fairness, equity, women can come up tomorrow and say they deserve it too. Right? Have they ever been governor of Ogun State?
No.
Their worries are clamoring that it's their turn. So everybody's going to put up their big boy pants. I mean, we have a deputy governor who's an awori. She's also very qualified.
Mm.
So she can come up tomorrow and say it's a awori turn. And we have seen someone in the charter that they are also advocating for awori's governorship. So everybody's going to clamor. I'm an Egba man. Ani omoni onse di bebere. Kafi leke si di omo elomi. So I believe in Egba becoming the governor of Ogun State in 2027, and I'm going to work with all the resources that I have to make sure it happens.
Okay. All right, it depends on politics. But as we wind down, still talking about Ogun State, I want you to advise the administration. Okay. Let's talk education a little bit. Because back in the day, Ogun State used to be a place where students in the state come first when it comes to examinations, when it comes to WAEC, when it comes to JAMB, when it comes to this. But, you know, recently it has not been like that. And although, yeah, the state government, you know, just employed some teachers and all. But let's look at the welfare of the teachers that we're talking about. You know, these are the people that nurture and educate our future leaders. If you're to advise the Ogun State governor right now on what and what to do in nurturing, you know, our teachers, improving the welfare of those nurturing and educating our future leaders, what would you tell me?
Well, basically, it's remuneration and training. Those are the things.
Training and retraining.
And remuneration, you know. And they talk about salaries and benefits. But the most important aspect is societal engagement. We have to engage our people. A lot of people have categorized education now as a scam. Yeah, you hear that young people saying it, that okay, and you sympathize with them in some area.
Mm.
You go to a 4-year college, university, you came out, you have to go and learn how to sew. to be able to have a gainful employment. I've actually talked to one of them. I said, so why did you decide
why did you waste 4 years?
Why don't you because that's the edge the Igbos had ahead of us.
The apprenticeship.
They don't waste their time in most cases. If you want to face education, face education. If you want to face trading, or you want to learn craftsmanship, you go for that. And people have argued that we need to develop our technical education more so that emphasis is not focused only on university education.
Okay.
If the technical education is developed, you can know from secondary school whether you want to be an artisan, you want to be this.
And well,
you
can strong use that, points.
Yeah, the strong point you can use. And with involvement of good social worker in schools, we don't have that. Guidance and counseling, they call them.
Yes.
It's not everybody that has to go and do a four-year degree. You can do 2 years community college in developed world and be able to function just as any other person in the society.
Hmm.
It's only here we emphasize more on certificates. And certificate on two is in most cases worthless because you ask them what they study, some of them don't know. So technical education is what I will appeal to the government to focus more
on technical education.
Yeah, because when you finish
that... Yeah, we have a technical college here.
Yeah, but the resources that they need, and it has to be more than just a few here, a few there. It has to be available. You see, traveling to... Look at the economic situation now.
Yes.
How many people can afford to send their children to schools in far distance?
Hmm.
I mean, the country is not that easy. So people are beginning to look at it like, okay, you've been to school for 4 years.
Yes.
You are looking for a job for another 4 years.
Hmm.
And also, in some cases, you have to go and learn sewing, fashion, photography. So why don't you just go for that in an environment where you can be taught advanced technology?
Yes.
So that is, if you talk about education, primary education is very important, particularly in our rural area and in our urban centers too, where there's a lot of dropouts. And so we need to engage the stakeholder, the community leaders, to reorientate our populace on the importance of that aspect. Then we have to focus more on technical education. So that when people come out of school, they can be independent. They don't have to be looking for a job. They might need resources like empowerment to get them started, but then you know you've created an industry.
An industry.
Or a mini industry, as they call it.
Hmm. Anyway, thank you so much, Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Olabi. Thank you so much for having this conversation. You know, I think we covered all areas. We covered some of it.
Thank you very much.
But anyway, thank you so much. Appreciate you for coming. They say life is lived forward, but understood backwards. My name is Binga Oreshek. We'll be back again on Monday by the special grace of God. Keep your FM dial plugged on the radio dial, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Guta. Have a beautiful Wednesday.
Ifagbagbaga commence oyo ti bere laarin awon ikan ni tin gbo nsafefe ala ni o foko ole han bi kun lonuko bi pakute ni ibile o ti teju lati jiyeke feredun o ye o eruku solala enikan forigbe ikeji fayagba o fese ta senikata ko to debe elomi gba lowo e o mo se o ile ti yo kabakaba o sare dide kawu kafo kafo kawi ta lele gera to gbe bu yo yi fresh oge kini oge keji oge tata ariwo ta o ti de waju box 18 idoju koju pelu goli
Fresh 107.9 FM. Akogun laarin awon ikanni toku.
O nikan lo le ge o ya je ri ese nje yin ma duro legbe re sare be ti se ma gbo re o awon sele to sele lori odo yala bola lafese gba ese kikan bole leyin alafejo gba lori concrete ta mo si tennis ere daraya ere sisa ati bi ati be lo